Working Class Majority. Rick Smith.
So proud to shut her down. All over his tantrum wall. And look, you know, the question becomes, you know, how do you hold him accountable? Because this is going to affect, if the government is allowed to shut down. And every time we go through this, every time we go through this brinksmanship, I'm going to get my way. And we're going to hold, well, we the people hostage while he attempts to get what he wants. And again, it's us who ends up. We, the working people, who end up getting the screws in this deal. And here to share some thoughts on the potential shutdown. And, you know, is shutting the government down something to be proud of? Is that really an accomplishment? Is that an achievement? I've asked Phil Glover to come talk with us. He's AFGE District 3 National Vice President. Phil, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
So is this something to be proud of? Is this really an accomplishment?
No, it's once again holding people hostage to what he wants to do. You heard him yesterday. He's not thinking about, you know, GS5, 6, and 7 employees that live paycheck to paycheck. You know, it's all about him.
As is everything. So walk me through what could happen. I mean, what's the scenario in the event that both sides have dug in? Obviously, I think building a wall is a stupid idea. Spending $5 billion, wasting $5 billion is really a stupid idea. But you know, what happens in the event that they don't come to an agreement and things shut down? What does that look like?
Well, what's happened in the past is the agencies, and I understand some agencies have already sent out a notification to employees that there may be a shutdown, and they have to start preparing for that. So things, for instance. And the interesting part of this is, you know, while he's arguing about border security, the bills that haven't been funded for the entire year in 2019 include the Bureau of Prisons. So you have correctional officers and workers. You've got the Border Patrol that's not funded. You've got ICE. All of the security agencies, essentially, those bills were not funded through 2019. So those are the guys that are going to have to work with no pay. Men and women, not just guys.
Sure. But,
so those are the folks that are going to pay for this. And what will happen in, I worked in the Bureau of Prisons for 23 years, and I went through a couple shutdowns. Even if you're on pre-scheduled annual leave, you're told to come back into work, that you can't be on leave during a shutdown. And so it disrupts families. It disrupts their work. It disrupts their leave. A lot of people, you know, the senior folks are trying to take leave over Christmas. That'll be when they get hit.
So Merry Christmas. So what happens? I mean, if it does shut down, you have to still show up to work because we can't have prisons with nobody in them. Do you eventually get paid? Does that eventually come back? Do we, you know, do a resolution of, you know, well, let's do the back pay? I mean, does that happen?
Yeah, what has to happen is Congress, after a shutdown is completed, just like the last one that they did, I think, when we had those partials over the weekend, they still have to come back in after and pass a resolution to pay back pay to the employees. And then there's usually an argument over the people that were simply furloughed and weren't required to work. So there's always a back and forth about that. And, you know, this just keeps happening. Instead of responsible, you know, congressional leaders and the White House sitting down and working out these issues, you know, this seems to be the new normal with the government.
Now, this seems to be a really bad way to run a government. I just kind of have to throw that out there. I mean, and we've gotten used to it. You know, during the Obama years, Republicans were, you know, attempting to shut down. It was often, if I remember right, you know, I remember the Screwquester. I remember all of the debt ceiling fights. It was always this, you know, we're this brinksmanship that happens. And it's always, well, federal employees and ultimately we, the working people, who end up being the ones held hostage in this. Because, look, there are people who depend on government services.
Sure. Like, you know, the Social Security checks have to go out. If you don't have employees there, they can't. If you have veterans who are trying to process benefits, that's a problem. They might be able to go to the hospital, but maybe they can't get their benefits processed. It depends on how those agencies close and how they interpret the shutdown, how that gets done. And then national parks last time, you know, national parks shut down. You know, people said, well, you know, these national parks, they're open. We can just walk through them. Well, we have park rangers that work in there. We have people that are, you know, committed to public safety. You have people that clean up the parks, keep them cleaned up. You know, those are things that people don't really see a lot of as federal employees, but that's what's happening in those areas. And I think one year when there was a shutdown, people were starting to go trying to get passports. They couldn't get a passport. And then it really went crazy because people had trips planned, and so they were, you know, stuck because they couldn't get a passport and they weren't being processed. So, you know, this affects a lot of people, and unfortunately, some in certain, you know, like President Trump and others have convinced some in America that, you know, government workers are sitting around doing nothing. You know, we're not doing any work for the American public. We're just sucking up the taxpayers' money. And the fact is, that's just not true. No. 85% of workers in the federal government work outside of Washington, D.C. They work out in communities. And they're not part of this alleged, you know, swamp that he talks about. And people need to know about it.
Yeah, I mean, the image of, you know, especially how the right wing paints federal employees is, you know, as you know, they've got, you know, Cadillac healthcare and golden parachute, you know, retirement plans, and you know, they got their feet up on the desk, which I find interesting because, you know, just yesterday we were talking about a story about one of Trump's main loyalists who just got ousted from the VA because he actually didn't do anything while he was there and collected about $161,000. We don't hear much about that though.
No, I just read that article, as a matter of fact, and you know, there's your thing. You have they average out the cost, and they say federal workers make all this money, but the fact is, what they're doing is they're taking an average, who, you know, are agency heads that are what's called SES, senior executive service employees, all the attorneys that are required to run agencies and be responsible for legal. High priced employees in the departments in DC and the headquarters. And then they average that out across the country and say, this is what a federal employee makes. Instead, yeah. You know, like Bureau of Prisons, and I use them as an example because they will be affected by the shutdown. They started a GS-5, which is, you know, somewhere around, $30,000 a year working in a federal prison. Now that guy ain't making a ton of money. And to be treated like this, you know, by someone who says they love law enforcement, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, but to highlight what you're saying, you know, you put me and LeBron James in a room together, and our average salaries are through the roof.
Right, exactly. And that's what they're doing with these, with the federal salaries that they talk about. That's how they average them out. Doctors in the VA, they make more money than, you know, a housekeeper in the VA. But when you average it all out, that's the number they use to make it look like there's this horrible thing with federal workers.
Yeah, but you know, again, you know, this attack, not just on public sector workers, but on workers in general, has been going on for the last 40 years, Phil.
Yes, unfortunately, and again, the right-wing media in the country, certainly, you know, the right, the conservative right, has been on this assault since the 70s, going into the 80s, trying to break unions and break prevailing wage and break, you know, contract labor agreements and all those things that come with unionism and a better standard of living. And you would think people would start to wake up.
You would hope. I mean, at the end of it, you would hope that would be the case. But yet, you know, I see what's going on, you know, with the post office. I see what's going on in, you know, places like Wisconsin. I see all of this authoritarian kind of tendencies to take away collective bargaining rights, to take away, you know, like the post office, the task force just said, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to negotiate over wages. You go, you know, so what can they negotiate over?
Well, that's in the federal sector. We don't negotiate over wages, actually. We have a statute that doesn't allow that. We have to go to Congress and we have to educate them and we have to convince them to give us raises and changes to benefits. But
which I think is crazy.
This is the way it was built in 1978, unfortunately, as part of the compromises that were done with the Civil Service Reform Act. But we still negotiate over health and safety issues, scheduling, work site conditions, those types of things is what we generally get into bargaining over. And even those things at least help our members have a better standard of life, a better quality of life.
I got to imagine that your membership is, you know, it kind of gone up a little bit given the attacks that we've seen in this administration. Because, you know, from what I'm hearing from government employees, you know, there's all kinds of stress and all kinds of pressure and, you know, to basically undo the bureaucratic regulatory regime that's been built to protect the American public, you know, almost daily.
Well, in AFG's case, we are basically an open shop, and we organize daily. We have held our own. The only problem now is that with this administration, over the last 2 years, retirements have gone through the roof. Federal workers are walking away instead of staying under this, you know, schizophrenic regime, and they come and go. They're you know, as soon as they become eligible, they're putting in for retirement. And I think there was actually, you know, recently something that said that retirements are almost 5,000 to 6,000 a month now.
Wow.
And into January, that's usually a big month for federal retirement anyway, the first of the year. So we're waiting to see how that looks, at least for our union and for the federal workforce.
And I got to imagine the talk of a shutdown and more, you know, uncertainty and more chaos has got to be leading people to go, you know what, screw it, I'm out of here, I'm done.
Yeah, we're seeing that, and you know, if you look at the VA, for instance, you know, they're already 40,000 employees short in the VA, and they can't keep doctors and they can't keep nurses because, frankly, they're tired of this treatment. I mean, some stay because they're committed, you know, to the cause of taking care of our veterans, and they'll stay. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, they'll go into private practice or they'll go to a hospital instead of working at the VA because of all this nonsense.
In a shutdown scenario, what happens to the VA? What happens to those hospitals? Are they affected by this in any way?
Well, in this case, my understanding is that the VA, they passed their funding bill through 2019, so the VA shouldn't be affected. Department of Defense is the same way. But again, the security agencies are the ones that he's all about security. Those are the folks that may not get paid, and they're the ones that'll work over the Christmas holiday without a paycheck and get called in off of leave. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic with what the White House has chosen to do.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Here's your lump of coal.
Right, right. That's what it is.
And look, I just it's one of these bizarre moments where, you know, did you watch the little whatever that reality show was with Trump and Mike Pence, who I don't know if he was a potted plant or just stoned, and then you had, you know, Chuck and Nancy there. It just was this bizarre kind of reality show that it's just like a bad political theater.
Yeah, I unfortunately did see that. You know, I don't think I've ever seen, I mean, I've been around a while, and I served in the military when Reagan was the president, and go all the way up through to this president, and I've served either in the military or in government. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. What's sad, though, Rick, is, you know, I was listening to C-SPAN, one of the call-in shows, and you still hear these people calling in thinking that's a good thing. Like, his actions were a good thing, and it's sad in America that you hear that. That is not, he's unpresidential. He acts like a toddler, and some people, you know, is still cheering. It's just unbelievable, and you just have to shake your head.
And what's scary to me is, you know, people think, well, you know, this stuff's easy. I mean, that anybody can do it, and shutdowns will be painless, and you know, trade wars are going to be painless, and we can win. We're winning, Phil.
Yeah.
Are you tired of winning yet?
Yeah, I'm tired. I can't. 2020 can't come too early for me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And a lot of the other people that I work with.
Last question I've got for you. Any thoughts on how you see this going down? I mean, you're intimately involved in this stuff. Are you hearing anything one way or the other?
Well, it was interesting today that Mitch McConnell made a comment that he really was optimistic about trying to work something out here. I think, you know, nobody that has to run, you know, even this last midterm, I don't think any of those folks want to go through this again. Whoever he took the blame, so he made it clear that it's his fault if he shuts it down, and so they can't even really blame Democrats for it. And I would hope that in the end, you know, the Senate leadership will tell the president, look, you need to sign whatever we can pass and get over to you. And I hope that's what he does. He's done that before. He's backed up a little bit. He seems to set a marker, and then he backs up a lot of times. So that's what we're obviously hoping for. We don't want to see anybody out of work. We don't want to see anybody go without a paycheck. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to happen.
Yeah, what do you see the time frame being on this? Why? How? So folks will know. What's the time frame?
Well, lately, these things have gone to the edge. So I think the date is December 22nd at midnight would be the shutdown time, or the December 21st. If they don't pass a funding bill and he signs it by then about 300,000, from what I understand, federal workers will be either furloughed or told to work without pay. And then we'll get into that process. The agencies will be shutting down non-essential services, and they'll be prepping that the week prior, but that'll all happen over the weekend of that going into Christmas. And so, you know, here we go again. We did this, you know, when Newt Gingrich had the House way back. You know, we did this over Christmas, and it didn't turn out well, I don't think, for the Republicans. And so, you know, we hope it doesn't turn out well this time either.
Yeah, well, let's hope it doesn't get to that, and hope Grinch comes around to the census.
Just we hope
so. What it is. Phil, I appreciate you taking some time for us. I'd love to have you back again as this continues.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Good stuff, Phil Glover. He is AFGE District 3 National Vice President. You can check out their website, afge.org. Just crazy stuff. Love to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Own 90% of the wealth. 10% of the people. Own 90% of the wealth. Where do you fit in? Take a look at yourself. 10%.